of a rolling wind can't be turned away. An enchanted moment, and it sees me through. It's enough for this restless warrior just to be with you. And can you feel the love tonight? Is where we are. It's the love of this wild-eyed wanderer that we got this far.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome. This is Beth from Galactic Roundtable. Thanks for being here again tonight. I hope you enjoy that song. It's long, and I love playing it because it gives us a segue between the crazy wild world out there and this inner space when we come in here. And I'm always hoping you're daydreaming about your twin flame then. I want to share a phone number with you in case you want to call in. I invite you to call in with any questions or comments that you have, and feel free to interrupt me. So the phone number here is 530-413-4529, 530-413-4529. So I have several things I'd like to share tonight, and sometimes I do presentations and they can last the entire hour, but we're not going to do that tonight. We're going to have a talk about current events. There's a lot going on, and so I want to touch base on everything. First thing I'd like to do is share with you Sananda's Easter message. It's not that long, and there were some very important points in it. I enjoyed it very much. It was very touching, so I'd like to read that to you here. An Easter message from Lord Sananda. Greetings, this is Sananda through Elizabeth Trutwin. We celebrate this Easter together with Earth set into a new timeline. Those things which were not possible before have become possible. What you will see in the weeks to come are the final steps necessary as we implement the Golden Age on the Satya Yuga timeline. As we are on the new timeline, there are no impediments to implementing change. Easter in Jesus' time was different than what has been adulterated in the Bible. I, Sananda, would like to share a true accounting. As Jesus appeared on the cross, lifeless, his family took him down. They took him into the tomb and placed the stone. The tombstone covered up what was happening inside. A team of supernatural healers were there and worked on him for days. He did not die on the cross. His wife and disciples were not told this would occur. They went about their mourning, naturally not expecting his return. He floated in and out of consciousness as these supernatural healers performed light surgeries, applied medicines, and fed him the healing remedies. 3 days later, he was whole and walked out of the tomb alive as before. He then had all of his disciples beamed on to the New Jerusalem to reunite with their twin flames, introduce them to their mentors, including Moses and Abraham, and explain their true missions to them. After a short visit on the ship, they were deposited back to Earth for a 40-day training period to prepare them for spreading the word of Christ consciousness to Earth. They knew their work would be dangerous. They were living out a life on Earth without Jesus as best they could. They had planted a seed for this lifetime now when Earth has ascended. Jesus and Mary Magdalene were able to leave Jerusalem together then, where they traveled with their guard to become known as the White Knights. You know, they call them the Templars. They moved between Scotland, Ireland, and France. They had 5 children together who lived on carrying the bloodline to present-day Earth. I had an email this week from a lady who was pretty upset, and she wanted to know why I had said before that, you know, that they had had 1 daughter named Sarah. And why now was Sananda saying they had 5 children? They did have 5 children. I just didn't word it that way before. Sarah was their firstborn child, and they had 4 more after. This Easter celebration brings us full circle to a time when Mary and Jesus, with the other high beings who have lived on Earth before, will join us. They will return to Earth as we remember them. They will carry their missions to healing Earth. Those who insisted on war will no longer be on Earth. The royal lines of queens and kings of old, the promises which were made so long ago, your human mind cannot remember, will be fully renewed and empowered to help all of humanity. This Easter, the Grand Cross marches across our sky, and a few days later, a partial solar eclipse, which follows only a few days ago, a full lunar eclipse. This Easter, as you reflect on the blooming of your own Christ consciousness, see the open doorway before you. An open doorway to eternal garden of bliss is made manifest on new Earth. When you enter, you breathe in the rarefied energies of wholeness. All petty conflicts crumble like dust at your feet. The concerns of survival cannot exist here. The details fall away. The metal suit of protection covering your heart is thrown aside. Each moment spent in New Earth is one of pure ecstasy. Suffering and hardness are forgotten. It is your true resurrection into Christ consciousness. This will be a place of renewal and rest. This will be a place of new beginnings. The supreme ultimate will be here with us, forging the master plan for New Earth. You will lay down all of your burden you have carried so long. The only thing you can carry now is your song. The only thing you carry is that which is unique to your soul, your gift that you have brought forward to fulfill Earth's destiny as a planet of diversity within unity. You carry forth your song to harmonize with all here. There is some cleanup to do now that Earth has been placed within its new timeline. The old cannot sustain this high vibration on New Earth and will be removed. The old ways of operating must be dissolved to make room for the new. Accountability will be paid one final time as karma is finally ended on Earth. All is playing out in the divine plan to perfection. We are all expecting to see big changes around Easter. Big changes are happening, whether you can see them or not. The divine plan has been hidden from the masses to protect the surprises necessary to bring in the changes. The dark have held sway for thousands and thousands of years, and the magic brings the changes needed to go unseen in order to have success. Move forward now. Never stop making changes for your highest good. You may be leaving a job, moving your home, ending a relationship, or changing how you spend your time. Change is inevitable. Greet change like an old friend. Be bold. Make big moves. Join with those of like mind to be the change. In your newfound freedom, be creative. Solve problems with creativity. Master new ways to create. Make new things. Start something new. You will be successful. I invite you to join me in submergence. Merge with me in oneness. It is possible. Become one with me. I have loved you beyond your wildest imaginings since the beginning of beingness. You may have within you my power, my wisdom, and my love for all that is. In your meditative state, imagine that you, imagine that I am gently flowing water and you are salt. Dive into me, submerge, surrender, so that you may experience all of the blessings given to us by the ultimate supreme. Dissolve all that makes up you and join it with me. We become one. We are salt water together and that which sustains all life here on Earth. Anytime you feel your head bubbling up to the surface due to fatigue or doubt, just dive under the water again. Remain merged with me as one in all our actions together. I lend you all that I am and all that I have to make it through the next moments. The more time you spend in the Garden of Eternity, the more you become your new being on New Earth with a fully actualized Christ consciousness. Drink in the fragrance of spring in the north, and languish in the changing colors of fall in the south. Bask in the sunlight as you watch the seasons changing before you. Walk through the open door of change that is before you. Dry your tears and allow those parts of you which still doubt to melt away. Breathe in joy. Breathe in bliss. Activate love and invoke it in everything that you do. Continue to imagine on your inner eye, a brighter day on Earth. Imagine your beloved holding you and your hearts are beating as one. See with the eyes of your spiritual heart the changes that go unseen on the outer. It is true. Be in peace. All that you have longed for has arrived. Prepare yourself for the next tasks at hand. No one ever said it would be easy. As the changes unfold in this world, so will unfold your strength of right action. Each day is another step toward a well-planned series of sequential days lining up for the event. Arrests, announcements, the enactment of Nisara law, full galactic disclosure, and world peace. All of these things will come together all at once. Experiencing New Earth will happen in the blink of an eye. Nothing more needs to be done. I have this well in hand. Namaste. This is Lord Sananda through Elizabeth Troutman. Okay, very good. So now I want to share with you a discussion I was having last night on Facebook. This was my friend, my new friend, who I just met last night in this discussion, R. Scott Fitzgerald, and I told him I would be mentioning this on the radio tonight. So I had left a post on Richard Dolan's Facebook page. Please join our event. Launch the Congressional Hearings Initiative. It's an experiment of noetic science. So he took that and he started posting on it. So what I'd like to do is just read the post that we had together, but then I'm going to pause and do some explanation because it was a provocative discussion, and he brought out the very important things I've been wanting to stress to everybody. So I didn't know a better way to do this, and I think this will be fun. Just let me take a sip, please. So Scott starts out by saying, I hear you, but congressional oversight are bound by non-disclosure of classified stuff. So I feel the best they do. So I feel the best they do is discuss little green men in 1897 flying their contraptions. Gosh, I'm still wondering about the 1500s accurate mapping of Arctic beneath the ice. That was the comment from Scott. And so I said, I got a little bit heated. You know how I am. I said, dude, you're grossly mistaken. Were you present at the citizen hearings last year? If you have no firsthand knowledge, then this is just an egoic reflection of what little you know. If you don't want to do the research, then I invite you to hang around and catch up on the truth. Knowledge is your birthright. Get you some. And then the next comment was from me. What will happen is there will be a question and answer format. They are not obliged to believe the answer. They are obliged to hear the answer and put it into the record. After that, magic happens. Capiche? Mention little green men here again, and that is proof we are not friends. It's an extremely derogatory term and not to be thrown around. Thank you for this. I'm laughing because I was being kind of a jerk. And Scott replies saying, the name's Scott, and I have not gauged my knowledge of the EB UFO stuff. Suppose I learned enough to get me around, laugh out loud. Scott, it turns out, is very intelligent and very insightful on the subject. So I reply by saying, Scott, noted. Thank you. You could start on YouTube and watch Steve Bassett and his testimony tapes. If you don't care to do that, it's cool. It's the only way to really understand the criminal element keeping the truth embargo in place. I guess one reason for reading this to you is to say, I'm talking to you. And you and you and you, if you haven't seen those tapes, really, you'd be doing yourself a favor to check them out. Or if you haven't heard them in a year and you didn't memorize every word on them like I did, then go back and listen again. So then I posted two of Steve's tapes, the first day one, the entirety of day one. in the morning, which is a couple of hours, and also the anonymous tape, which was the former CIA official who talks about Area 51 and the other things that he knew. And Scott replies by saying, Steve and I have spoke through email channels. Yes, I have seen the video. And then I say to him, well, have you seen this one, where he explains about how the hearings will work? Why is your opinion so closed if you're really into it? I highly recommend this. It's new, a few months ago. And this was the First Contact Radio, and the host is Joshua Poet, and he's interviewing Stephen Bassett from the Paradigm Research Group, and the date of the video is, I think it's 12/13. It's pretty new, and I had never heard it before. It's on YouTube, so go find it. It's very good. So then I say to Scott, why are you emailing Steve if you don't believe the hearings will help? And Scott says, citizens hearing on disclosure day one, AM session, bunch of stuff went on there, Liz, but they are under security oath. Closed door sessions won't get to us, of course, though I suspect closed door sessions on this area are coffee and laughs. And Scott says in another comment, did I say hearings won't help? Where? Steve's doing a valiant thing. I like what he's willing to take it on and gain inch by inch, year by year. I truly respect his ongoing effort. And I reply, the name is Beth. You are ignorant. Oh, I got a little bit heated, didn't I? You are ignorant as hell to the point where I am offended. You didn't watch that video. I was there all 5 days. You can tighten your game by looking at the interview I posted there. You do not even understand congressional hearings. You don't respect it. You feel it's good for coffee and a laugh. Does Steve Bassett know how you feel? Scott replies, regarding congressional closed-door sessions on this subject, they laugh and drink coffee as they know so much about it and that we are not told, and things that we're not told, Beth. Scott says, I never discussed how I felt about the EB problem with Steve, just supported what he was doing. And I replied, Scott, did you know that out of 535 members of Congress, about 470 of them are either clones or solid holograms? And when the testimony is given there, they will be indicted for the bribes they have taken to keep the truth embargo in place? You don't feel it will make a difference, so that is not supportive. They may be laughing now, but not much longer. It doesn't mean it won't be effective. And Scott replies, cool down a wee bit, Beth. And he's right, I was really being a jerk. I'm not the enemy. Perhaps we're not friends, but seems like we're reading off the same side of the coin. So I reply, the EB problem, what is your take on that? And he replies, they walk within the White House. And then I knew what I was dealing with, and then it got interesting. And so I replied, Scott, Steve needs every single person alive who has even a cursory knowledge about the truth embargo to get behind the congressional hearings. Steve knows what he's doing. We can agree on that. And Scott replies, Steve's a smart, brilliant man. Love his tenacity. Can only hope he beats his uphill challenge. And I replied about the EBs. The EBs is a term used here, which is not appropriate exactly. It was used for those whose crafts were either brought down from playing with the radar waves or shot down by air-to-land missiles and then kept... I'm sorry, I lost my place. Hold on, I gotta just scroll up here. Here we go. Air-to-land missiles and then kept as prisoners of war at Area 51 and other undisclosed locations. One famous EB we know of was J-Ron. There were several others kept as prisoners by the Breakaway Society of the Secret Space Program. The extraterrestrials who walk among us, as our neighbors look human. They are members of the Ashtar Command. They are helping our military. They are members of the Alien Contact Intelligence Organization, ACIO. These members of the Galactic Federation are counseling President Obama as he prepares to be the disclosure president. They are here helping humanity secure world peace. And M.T. Keshi is part of the plan. He will bring us to zero point. And I went on to comment about Steve, and I said, Steve cannot make it alone. He's only one man. Steve needs you and everyone like you to get behind him and let Congress know we are mad as hell and we ain't going to take it anymore. We cannot just sit in our lazy boy cruising TV channels on the clicker with one hand and commenting on Facebook about how cool Steve is on the other hand. We have to participate in action politics. We have a social contract with Congress. As they are our elected officials, we the people have the responsibility as their constituents to ask for the change. We are asking that those military commanders be allowed to testify before a subcommittee with TV cameras rolling. It can be small. It will work. It's the divine plan. The next comment was mine, and I said, the U.S. military shot down a UFO over Los Angeles in 1942. It was a crashed and recovered UFO. The military took it to re-engineer it to see if it would help in the war effort. There's a memo with a copy to stating that John F. Kennedy, as a then member of Navy intelligence, was briefed on this. The Roswell crash happened 5 years later. There is more information out there folks can avail themselves to. 10 days after President Kennedy ordered NASA to open their space files for a joint space mission with the USSR, he was assassinated. Now, on the International Space Station, our astronauts work together. And then I left some links to exopolitics.org and other places to see an image of that exact memo and some videos of the land-to-air missiles that shot down the UFO by our army. Pictures of it were on the front cover of the LA Times at 9:30 the next morning. It went on for several hours. My next comment said, I get worked up because I understand the reality of how much folks need to come off the sidelines now and get involved. Thank you for this. And Scott says to me, I see you've done your homework, Beth. He didn't know me before yesterday. I caramelized the term EB, of course, as you are aware, extraterrestrial biological beings. In the 40s and 50s, military radar had some sort of negative effect on their craft's navigation. Then there were reports they sat between the beacon and when it swept to where they hovered, 6 or 8, 30 feet models, the crafts would then shoot straight up and back down to the same place after the proximity sweep. I agree with that statement. He said that let me know he was a knowledgeable person. I had first heard that accounting from Rama Arjuna. And then he says, familiar with J-Rod, Burrish deal at Area 51, S4. Ashtar Command is new to me, as is the ACIO. As for Amable, had read he was off-planet from a guest on Coast to Coast 4 or 5 years ago. Ashtar was a part of Reagan's thought of public disclosure. Then Mr. Reagan got shot, so I feel it went on permanent hold. Have you read the Kelly Halil Cahill incident, Beth? And I replied and I said, President Reagan was killed and cloned then. That shot was fatal. It was a hit ordered by Bush Sr. Grant Cameron brought us the presidential files on the Rockefeller Initiative. Lawrence Rockefeller was Bill Clinton's natural father and wanted to help him be the disclosure president. Bill knew about the JFK incident and was too afraid to come forward, so now he's helping President Obama carry it to the end. As the testimony is presented On C-SPAN, the media and the president will have no choice but to come forward with full blast disclosures. Yes, I am now the full of Charles Joe and many other abduction cases. I also studied John Maxwell, the Harvard professor who was killed for helping these folks heal. Then I made a post for the ASTAR and the GalacticFederation.com, which is the it's a free version of the book to read. It's out there on the web for anyone who wants to read it. And then I say, I agree what you said on the radar. The next comment I said was, these stories go literally to the sky. We have a chance now to join together and bring disclosure. And it is the wise choice to do anything in our power to help Steve make it happen. I heard he could use donations now for the DVDs and travel involved while he lobbies in D.C. And Scott replies, yes, Mr. Mack's sudden release, quote-unquote retirement, from Harvard and his fatal trip to England. He was a courageous man, Beth, as was McDonald and others before him. Professor McDonald was, I forgot his specialty, physicist, I'm not sure. And in 1968, he testified before Congress. And he testified before Congress about the experiments he had done with anti-gravity devices and showing that this science was real. He proved it. And they shamed him so much in the public eye that after a gruesome failed suicide, he waited a year, and then he was successful the second time. It's a blotch on our history that is worth looking up, Dr. McDonald. And others before, how are you with the Allagash incident, he says. Steve knows what he's doing, and yes, I agree, he'll need funds when his efforts get heard in Congress. Did you notice the effort of so many in the know were on stage just before 9/11 came crashing down? Awful diversion. And I replied, 4 months before 9/11 at the press club with Dr. Greer. Yes, I noticed. Then I replied, yes, I'm familiar with these young men. It is my feeling that those who had abduction experiences agreed to it before this incarnation. Like so many other atrocities we've seen, these dramas are karma playing out. It is serving a purpose to raise consciousness. It helps us take pause and take action to end it permanently. I just want to say that you know, millions of people were abducted for a few decades. And this is not happening anymore. There are some copycat cases that are our military, the dark ones in the military, but the extraterrestrials who were doing this before are no longer anywhere around Earth. They're not allowed back in. So often when someone is speaking to me about abductees and fascinated by that, I always wonder in the back of my mind if they are an abductee themselves. Millions of people were. The Congressional Hearings Initiative involves producing over 700 DVD sets, obviously this is my comment, to be mailed to the entire Congress and a little over 100 UN delegates. He is in process and needs the money now. With those mailed, he will return to Washington, D.C. and have meetings with those who will invite him to have testimony given before Congress. So anyone out there, $5, $10, another way to be the change. And Scott replies, hi, and thanks for our new Facebook friendship. I realized by this time I wanted to be friends with this guy. So I friended him in the middle of our conversation. Means something discussing level four stuff with a person who knows a bunch of advanced EB stuff, kind of wondering what you might mean that they had agreed to abduction before their abduction experience. Beth, please elaborate. And then Scott says, said and supported Steve Bassett all I can. His tenacity will get the hearings, honestly. The House won't disclose anything, as did Ford open results, Beth. Not trying to kill fire soaking the smoke, but I'm being seemingly realistic with you, as it seems you really care about Mr. Bassett's efforts. I wouldn't put it that way. I care about disclosure, and anyone who's doing something about it, yeah, I really care about their efforts. The misunderstanding that I was trying to explain, which is another reason I'm sharing this, he says, the House won't disclose anything. Well, they don't have to disclose anything. The ones disclosing will be the ones giving testimony. The ones disclosing will be the former military, top military officials in every branch of the services who've had interactions with extraterrestrials. They will be the ones to disclose. All the House representatives or senators or both have to do is just sit there and nod and ask an occasional question. They don't have to do anything else. Having the testimony legally submitted in the Capitol will change everything. And we don't have to count on them to do anything. All we need is permission, and all we need is for them to sit in their chair and hear. That's what I really wanted to get out there. When this very, very informed, intelligent man was presenting these conflicting thoughts about the hearings, I realized I wanted to share this with everybody because it dawned on me that maybe everybody's thinking that's why these hearings would be worthless. And so I'm saying they're not worthless at all. The hearings will give us disclosure from President Obama. And so my next reply says, I have interviewed and assisted many abductees. I am one with inner sight. Let's call these ones Zetas instead of EBs. I think they're not fond of that term. Not all are Zetas, but I feel more comfortable with that. We can also say the Grays, not wanting to put all in one pot. I would do a process, some called jumping, some call remote viewing. I could see the Grays doing the surgeries and participating in artificial insemination and other practices that they really felt that they were helping their people. Their civilization was dying, literally, suffering diseases, and they were looking for DNA to boost their humanoid forms and help their evolution. They were in trouble and had come back here from the future. The way they did the abductions and procedures were cold and brutal and wrong. They were violating the person's use of free will. When we look at all that is, when we look into the cosmos and understand not only the face value meanings, but also the mystical and esoteric meanings, then we must reflect on karma. Each soul has a karmic stream at Earth, you know, like a life stream, like a live stream. When we live stream and look at each other on the computer, there's a karmic stream that's happening all the time. It is an electrical impulse that goes right back to the Akasha and the Galactic Federation computers, Shambhala, the Hall of Records, however you want to imagine it is going on all the time. Everything you've ever done or said is recorded. And I mean video. And yes, they can call it up for you. And they can call up past lives that you don't remember, and they will. So where was I? Am I coming? Each soul has a karma stream at Earth. Earth is a place of duality, cause and effect. When still formless and considering an incarnation on Earth, each one of us is shown potentials and made to choose what we will do within the coming lifetime there. Those who were the Greys were invited to play the role of abductee in their current lifetime. They were told it would burn off a lot of karma. They had in their past done not very nice things. They were a part of that soul group who had committed atrocities in their past lives. They knew the abuse had to end, and they agreed to incarnate and have the abductee experience. This may seem strange in the real, because once we come here, all the veils are in place, and the tendency is to say, I didn't choose this. It just isn't true. And as we explore the highest teachings as evidence in the Veda, for example, we increase our intelligence to incorporate this whole view. I have seen the abductions, the procedures, and what has happened to those children who were manufactured part human, part gray, and many other things. And Scott replies, quite a read. Most of which is theory or experiences I have not been read or seen during my investigative years ago, nor as of late. It's a lot to digest, and I'll need a bit of time saved on the PC. I believe there are mega species here. As soon as he said to me, you guys might have seen me write this a couple of days ago on my comments. As soon as he said to me, this is outside of the realm of anything I've read before, and it's a lot to digest, and I'll have to reflect on it, that's when I knew that was love for me. You know what I mean. That's what I respect. That I was yelling at him early on, and I was being a real jerk. And then found out he had a great deal of knowledge and that he was intelligent enough to say, and I say this to folks when it happens to me, I'm not sure about that. I need to reflect on it. I will get back to you. So continuing his comments, he says, I believe there are mega species here. That's true. Eisenhower met with one race at a Southern California military air wing. And in parentheses, he says, I'm leaning towards Pleiadians. In 54 or 55, and actually did sign, agreed to limited human abductions, which went further. Would Betty and Barney Hill start getting on the agenda, then being a white and black married couple? No. Something did happen that night of their return journey from Canada. As for remote viewing, I can't quite grasp it. Though the Coast to Coast show I mentioned earlier concerning Barry Obama's journey was of mention of Colonel Whatever, and he called minutes and on air with George and guest and denied it all. My reply was, I understand, it's a mouthful. Barack Obama is a fully enlightened being. He is now playing the role of double agent to indict the dark ones keeping us in slavery. He knows his role as the disclosure president. He is not dark. The Pleiadians never did abductions. They are members of the Galactic Federation. These are the ones helping humanity who shared the extraterrestrial technology free energy is based on. Thomas Vallone, physicist and professor, provided testimony at the citizens' hearing on disclosure. He said sometimes he emails his colleagues, those looking through their telescopes to map the stars, and he tells them to look at Betty Hill's star map because it has been found to be completely accurate. He teases them and asks them why they work so hard at it when the star map is out there. We need to get him and others like him before Congress and put an end to the lies on the ground. So, that's basically the end of the discussion. If you want to be on the be in on the discussion and see my posts, please friends me on Facebook. I encourage you to do that. So, We're getting close to the end. So I have one short presentation I want to share with you. This is Dr. Keshi. He is opening plasma reactor technology to humanity, which is going to be key to our free energy. And this is a brand new video from April 14th. So I'm going to share this with you. It's very brief, and then we'll have to quick run after that. Thank you for being here, everybody. I hope this helped you. And please invite your friends to come. We'll see you next Wednesday. We're not wrapping it up yet, but pretty close. This is Dr. Keshi.
Today is the 14th of April 2014. For the first time in public, we show the first nuclear reactor which has flown. It has lifted using gravitational magnetic field. There are two reactors. These two reactors have been tested in 2008 in Tehran, and they both lift and fly. This reactor.
He just said they both lift and fly. And he's touching them with his hands. He's standing in a scientific lab, and both of the models are not much bigger than 24 inches tall. And he's, they're at his waist level on a table, and he's touching them. They're small.
It's been captured a number of times in flight. So for the first time in public, we show the gravitational magnetic field reactors, which literally, this is the very first one, except the different base. The base was destroyed in testing, it was rebuilt. But this is the original double core half reactor used for space technology with a reversal of polarity, weighs less than 14 kilograms. This one weighs less than 2 kilograms, and it has double core, free rotating internal core. This one has a reserve tank. The two have been fully tested with nuclear material before. Now,
I want to say that one of them looks like a silver disc, even though they're both white. One of them looks exactly like a drawing of a Vimana. The Vimana were the ancient flying machines. And this nuclear technology he's talking about is what Ashtar uses. And this is how nukes were supposed to be used. When nuclear information was given to scientists on Earth, it was meant to be used this way. And they decided to make it into a weapon, just karma working itself out. Here we go. It's 2 minutes left on this.
There are loading for material, we're testing them with nano layers and composite nano layers. This has a special configuration. We cannot open the internal inner structure for certain reasons you might understand. But from today, the star formation for the space reactor technology is complete. And I would like to thank the Iranian government for allowing this to be shown in public for the first time. This is considered one of the Age of Science technology reactors. The original one, you can see, is very dirty, it's been well used. And the whole process will be shown live from now on. What we do, we have the reactor which sits in the center. This is the one which was made for peace, World Peace Treaty, for the April, for power generation. This reactor will take its position at 120 degrees, marked at its position. And the second one should sit at this position of 120 degrees, somewhere here. I'll put it here temporarily. And the third one should be coming in. Somewhere here. So the three reactors will take their place, and from today you can watch it live, what is happening and how the performance will be. This is the first time that a star formation reactor has ever been done outside the territory of Iran. So we start, wish you all the best with the new technology and the new opening for mankind. Thank you.
I need to find the other video of when he demonstrated it later that day. We still have time, so I'm going to play a very short video. This is from Dr. Michael Sala. His website is exopolitics.org. This is about the International Space Station having a UFO docking incident. Here you go.
Welcome to Exo News TV. I'm Michael Sala. On 29th January 2014, NASA live streaming showed what appeared to be a sleek elliptical UFO docked with the hull of the International Space Station. The object was between the Russian research module and the Soyuz escape capsule. Its size was approximately 10 meters. The recorded live feed was roughly 2 minutes and ended up with the screen going into blue mode. Basically, the ISS live feed was cut. When it resumed, the UFO was no longer there. Many among the general public saw the UFO docking incident as evidence that the International Space Station was being visited by a spacecraft of some kind. Was it part of a secret space fleet program or an extraterrestrial vehicle? Were the UFO occupants there to conduct a surprise meeting with the astronauts? Despite public requests to explain what the ISS live stream had captured, NASA did not provide an explanation. It was left to the general public to guess what the UFO was. Some claimed that the UFO was related to an ISS ceremony featuring the Olympic flag, yet the ISS ceremony was held in November 2013 and the flag was only about a metre in size, far smaller than the estimated 10-metre UFO. Another incident on March 3rd, again recorded from the ISS live stream, showed a UFO again very close to the ISS. The UFO appeared different to the first. Did the UFO belong to another group of space visitors?
He's actually showing the pictures of the docked spacecraft docking on ISS as he's speaking on this video.
NASA's response to the public request to explain the docked UFO incident and more recent UFO incidents involving the ISS was startling. NASA had decided it would end live streaming. NASA announced its decision on the ISS live streaming site on March 10 with a simple scrolling message. Only those monitoring the ISS live stream would learn that it was about to be closed in 2 weeks, by March 24th, NASA representatives responding to email requests said that the closing was for budgetary reasons. Public reaction was swift and furious. NASA soon received a large number of public complaints and demands to maintain the ISS live streaming. NASA first decided to temporarily extend the live streaming service. Then on March 27, I, along with many others, received the following email from Matthew Healy of United Space Alliance, the NASA contractor that runs the ISS live stream. The ISS live stream management team would like to personally thank you for your kind words of support. Your effort has saved the site from closure. NASA had relented. The ISS live streaming would now continue. Yet NASA is still to explain what the ISS live stream had captured on March 3rd and January 29. NASA's failed attempt to end the ISS live stream suggests that events are transpiring at the ISS that NASA wants to cover up. This increases suspicion that the UFO docking incident did involve a spacecraft of some kind conducting a surprise visit and meeting with the ISS astronauts.
Thanks, everybody, for meeting here tonight and sharing more knowledge. It's the best part of my week. I'm getting back to my emails now, and please bring your friends next week. I'm going to play you out now. Good night, everybody. Namaste.
Take a break. I'm a hot air balloon.